You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday night to you. I hope you had a tremendous weekend. I hope you had a good Monday. Prepare yourselves. I'm going to be here with you for the next 4 hours. This is when I get started. 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. NBA playoffs are underway. This is the third day of the playoffs. As a matter of fact, the Sixers, they just beat the Nets 96-84. We've had some injuries. We've had some exciting games. Thank you to Cleveland. Thank you to New York. Thank you to Sacramento. Thank you to Golden State. Matter of fact, Sacramento and Golden State, they're getting ready to tip off in a few minutes. What a track meet of a game that was on Saturday. I just saw Jacob DeGrom is hurt again. One of the Texas Rangers are already kind of looking at this as, what the hell did we do? He has a sore wrist. That's what they say now for Jacob DeGrom. He has a sore wrist. Anyway, other big news throughout the course of Monday. We learned that Jalen Hurts is now one of the highest paid football players ever. Huge contract. He's making $51 million a season per average. On average, I should say. He's making $1 million more than that Aaron Rodgers guy. So we're going to talk about Jalen Hurts next hour. DeAndre Hopkins didn't have to say too much of anything to let the world know about his potential trade destinations. A big shout-out to Brian McFadden for that one. Patrick Mahomes also spoke to the media today. Let everybody know about his ankle, said it's not 100%, something I don't think anybody should be concerned with. A team that's trying to forget win a Super Bowl like Mahomes, they're just trying to be relevant. The Houston Texans, their general manager, Nick Caserio, let everybody know that he's going to be sticking around. I don't know if that's something that should elicit confidence from all of the football fans in Houston, but we will certainly get there. And then in a few minutes, we'll talk about this game that just wrapped up. Because let's be honest here, okay? The Philadelphia 76ers beating the Brooklyn Nets. That's what the hell they're supposed to do, even though, I don't know who they were scaring, they were losing at halftime. No big deal. If you want to talk to me for the next 4 hours while I'm here, it's simple. The phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. For CBS. You can find me on social media everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. Shep, how are you this Monday evening? You doing good?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Mondays are always crazy because there is too much to talk about. How are you, sir?
Never too much to talk about. I'm very well, thank you. Well, we're going to try our best to talk about the important things. And before we get into this game that just concluded between Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets, we already had a full slate, as Shep just said. Too much? Nah, I say that's not enough. I was looking for one. That's a lie. It's a whole lie. After last night's game, the one that concluded the entire night, after the Nuggets beat the Wolves 109-80, I didn't want no more damn basketball. I was pretty through. But I'll tell you this much. Between the Saturday games and the Sunday games, we had some beatdowns and we had some good ones, okay? The New York Knicks overcoming the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game went down to the wire. Saturday night, we know the whole damn game went down to the wire between the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. I can't wait to see what the game tonight looks like. Steph Curry, a three away from just moving that game on into overtime. And then you have a Fox going out there dropping 39 in a playoff debut. So it'll be interesting to see what the bounce back looks like tonight. But there are a couple of players already in the playoffs, big names, star players, MVPs, future Hall of Famers. There's some dudes who we have no idea how they're going to bounce back, but we can assume. So how about this one? I guess you can consider it a surprise, but maybe not so much when Giannis Antetokounmpo goes down on his back and had to exit the game, lower back injury. Man, you ever fell on your ass and hit your tailbone? There is nothing funny or enjoyable about that. And so Giannis was done yesterday, didn't even play 12 full minutes, and the Heat beat the Bucks 130 to 117. Jimmy Butler dropped 35. Bam Adebayo, a good offensive showing, had 22. And then Giannis, he had the boogie early. And Mike Budenholzer spoke about Giannis today and said, oh, he's looking good. Looks like he'll be in action in the next game.
He's still sore, but I think progress. And, you know, he's getting some treatment. And, you know, I think we'll just continue to monitor him for the next, whatever, 24, next day or two. And probably fortunate that, you know, 2 days between games. So, you know, I think still mostly positive, mostly optimistic.
Okay, well, I mean, this is the same Giannis Antetokounmpo who had like a hyperextended knee in the NBA Finals or prior to the Finals against the Phoenix Suns, and he miraculously came back. I don't know if Giannis Antetokounmpo has Wolverine, you know, regenerative powers, but it's certainly looking like it. And so Game 2 is going to take place on Wednesday. I think if you have seen Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'd say he'd be out there and that he'll be out there ready to go. Someone who will not be ready to go. He also got hurt in this same series. He broke his hand on a loose ball, and then he was still able to knock down a three. He finished the game with only 12 points. The Miami Heat are in for an upward struggle trying to get buckets now. Tyler Hero's done. This man is out for the rest of the playoffs with a broken damn hand. And so if you didn't already believe that the Bucks were going to take care of the Heat, you should know that they're probably cooked. Someone who cannot think that way is the Miami Heat's leader. That's Jimmy Butler. This is what he had to say about life without Tyler Hero.
You can't, you know, fully make up what Tyler has been for our team all year long. But guys got to step up, including myself, including Bam, and whoever Spo calls upon.
Okay. Yeah. You want to know what Miami's going to be missing? That you cannot replicate? That you cannot duplicate? That you just can't pull off the bench is buckets. That's it. That's buckets. The Miami Heat, we know that they're tough. They're not going to quit. They follow Jimmy Butler's lead. They play hard. What, Victor Oladipo going to wake up and get buckets? I know that Kevin Love, he was able to bounce back. He's looked pretty invisible here. He had 18 points. Kyle Lowry, he's been dealing with a busted up knee, and he's almost day-to-day in his career. He had 2 points. Bam bounced back, had 22. He has to be aggressive. If Giannis is playing, let's just get the shovels. Let's just get the dirt. Let's pick out a nice plot, and let's go ahead and bury the Miami Heat. Sorry. There'll be action. They'll be in action, I should say, on Wednesday. That'll be fun. Speaking of another game, back in action on Wednesday. This was a good one on a Sunday afternoon. The Lakers beating Memphis 128 to 112. This game was basically cooked as well when Austin Reeves started to lose his mind. And then you also had Rui Hachimura lose his mind with 29 points. And it looked like the Los Angeles Lakers might lose their minds. Because Anthony Davis, who had a big game, 22 points and 12 rebounds, of course, Anthony Davis got hurt in the process. Right before halftime, Anthony Davis went up for a rebound, came down, got caught up in someone's arm, and the next thing he said was, "I can't feel my arm." And as a result, Anthony Davis suffered a stinger, went to the back before any of his teammates did, and was still able to come out and have a damn good game. Blocking shots, playing defense. Obviously, he could feel his arm again. And his own head coach, a tough guy himself coming off the bench all them years in the NBA, Darvin Ham, he said Anthony Davis, busted arm or not, he held it down for us tonight.
You know, he's our linebacker. You know what I mean? Just our middle linebacker. Guy that's just seeing everything in front of him. Talking to the guys, just protecting the rim, being a presence in the paint, his activity, his energy.
Oh, no. Middle linebacker, no, don't say that. I think middle linebacker, I'm thinking somebody's about to get hit. Thinking Ray Lewis, I'm thinking middle linebacker. Anthony Davis, he might be closer to a safety, trying to protect everything. But his physicality and how he's holding up against other competition, he's more like the damn kicker. Anthony Davis, middle linebacker, never something I'd ever think of hearing in my life. But this game was cooked the minute that Ja Morant went down. Always trying to fly over somebody. He finished with 18 points in the fourth quarter. He was cooked. Not because he ran out of gas, just because he got hurt. Flying to the basket, contested, came down. Anthony Davis tried to contest it. He comes down, braces himself with his hand, a hand that was already wrapped. Looked like he fell on his wrist, looked like he fell on his fingers. Yeah, there's a couple of things you want to do when you're in the air with no control. You want to brace your fall. You're going to use your hands. And that's what Ja Morant did. Went down, screamed, cursed in pain, and ran straight to the locker room. And the Lakers went on a run, and they won. Ja Morant said he is and was in considerable pain, and he's going to try his best to play on Wednesday.
I'm going to do anything to, you know, try to be out there for my team, be out there on the floor. It's pretty much, you know, how much, you know, I can tolerate. I feel like, you know, I can go out there and, you know, be somewhat myself.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll see what he can do. Maybe he's going to have to take more jump shots as he gets older, because jumping and flying over everybody is... it's not going to help his case. Congratulations to his teammate. He had 31 points yesterday, that being Jaren Jackson Jr. This evening, he was also named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, beating out Brook Lopez to get that award. He's the first dude since, I want to say, about 2015 to block three shots a game. 19 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. Jaren Jackson Jr., Defensive Player of the Year. How about this? This game just got underway. The Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. What we are going to do is take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the game that ended about 15 minutes ago. We'll talk about the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk about Jalen Hurts and what his career is about to look like, or more specifically, what his bank account is going to look like. Speaking of all these injuries, Patrick Mahomes talked about his injured and busted up ankle. The Texans, more playoffs, DeAndre Hopkins. We got a lot to do, and we're just getting started. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Wants to hear from you. Call him now at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. NBA playoffs continue to roll on. It's only game, or should I say day 3, and things are already hot. Sacramento and Golden State just getting started at the Golden 1 Center out in Sacramento. We'll keep you updated on that game as things start to flush out. Right before we joined online, the Philadelphia 76ers, they went up 2-0 against the Brooklyn Nets, beating them 96-84. Let me tell you, I watched this game before we went on air, and at halftime, the Brooklyn Nets led 49-44. But when you looked at some of the shooting performances, you just had to say to yourself, can this really continue for another half of basketball? Cam Johnson for the Brooklyn Nets had 22 points in the first half. He was only able to finish the game with 28. Mikal Bridges had 21 points overall, and Spencer Dinwiddie only contributing 12 points himself. When you look at the modern NBA, 84 points in a single game is not going to cut it. And so by the time we rolled into the third quarter, 76ers, they went on a roll, man. James Harden didn't have the greatest of games, not at all. Only finished with 8 points and 7 assists. He was 3 of 13 from the field. But James Harden was big on that comeback run, especially helping to turn the tide. I want you to listen to this courtesy of the 76ers radio network. James Harden coming through big time in the third quarter, helping to really push this run even further.
Baseline drive by Tyrese, down to the corner, Tucker, and it's in the air, but he didn't get it off. Hold on, the buzzer went off, but the Sixers did get it off. Here's Harden for three. It's in, and the Sixers go up by 5, and Harden with his first three.
They kept on rolling into the fourth as well. Tobias Harris, at this point in time, can be a fourth scoring option. He finished the night with 20 points in the fourth. He helped get things rolling himself with a finger roll.
Harris one-on-one with Seth. ISO on the left wing, driving, spinning, through two. He gets open and lays it in. Brooklyn with a breakdown. It was Cam Johnson and Seth Curry. They kind of looked at one another. Oh, no. Tobias splits them and gets a lay-in. Sixers lead by 8.
Yeah, there was a lot of those uh-ohs. And you're going to have a lot of uh-ohs when you have Joel Embiid out there. Joel Embiid didn't have the greatest of games, at least scoring-wise for his standards. He did have a monster game. 20 points, 19 rebounds, 3 blocks. What human being was going to go out there and stop Joel Embiid? Nick Claxton? No, of course not. And Nick Claxton by himself, he finished tonight with 0 points. Absolutely terrible here. Someone who did have an amazing night. So amazing, he had a career high, a playoff career high. Tyrese Maxey, 33 points, finishing up for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight. He hit a big three late in the fourth quarter to pretty much seal the deal.
Jalen goes to Embiid. Embiid once again with two players on him. To the left corner he goes. Maxey for three. Ball game. Maxey knocking down another three. And the Sixers back in front by 11.
I told you the final score was 96-84. Maxey helping hit that three-pointer to really push the lead. When it was all said and done, and the fans in Philadelphia were able to wave their signs and say finish it in Brooklyn, this is what the final call sounded like.
The buzzer sounds. It's the 76ers 2-0. They lead as they beat Brooklyn by 12 points, holding the Nets to 84 points. They had 49 at halftime, and they finish with 84.
Yeah, that's some crap, man. They suck. That's what happens when you don't have – look at all these scores that the 76ers have. You got Joel Embiid. You got Tyrese Maxey. James Harden, okay, he can be hit or miss at this stage of his career, but he can get you buckets. This is too easy. Tobias Harris dropped 20. Brooklyn Nets, they can't hang in there. Tyrese Maxey, he spoke to my buddy Stephanie Reddy after the game, and he talked about what the hell we did, but it doesn't matter how we started. It's all about how we finished.
It was a slow start for this team in the first half. What happened with you guys?
You know, they did a little bit of different things defensively tonight. They did a little bit of trapping, a little different trapping. But, you know, we were prepared. We went to halftime. We figured out what we were going to do. And, man, I talked to Joel, man. To be someone that's so dominant and get trapped every single play and still be able to make the right basketball play, that was big time with him.
What does it say about your team that you can come back, go on a run, win the third quarter, and don't have a ton of production from the possible MVP of the league?
We're deep. And, again, hats off to him. He trusts. He's been trusting us, man. He trusted me, trusted Tobias to make some big shots tonight, and that's what we did. Then we came out on this end, and we got real stingy. We got every rebound. He had, like, 20 rebounds, too. So, you know, that was a good team effort.
He big as hell. He better have 20 rebounds. He had 19, close enough. And they are deep. In the starting lineup, I mean, the bench is where you got to really think about things. You had DeAnthony Melton. He had 9 points. You had Paul Reed. He had 6. And that was it. Not that, D-A-T. There was nothing else. That was it. And so the Philadelphia 76ers, it's one thing to do this against the Brooklyn Nets, but you have to think about their depth. And as these series start to continue on, yeah, sure, Philadelphia should handle Brooklyn. You know, Mikal Bridges is their primary scorer. You got Cam Johnson. He ain't going to go and drop 30 every game. He could barely maintain his pace for an entire game here. And so Brooklyn Nets are on borrowed time. And it's only a matter of time before the Sixers move on. Head coach Jock Vaughn from the Brooklyn Nets. He spoke after the game just a few minutes ago, and Jock Vaughn basically said, yeah, we were good until we weren't.
The success that you guys had in that first half, where did you see the Sixers make some adjustments, and how did they kind of ignite things for them?
Yeah, the only adjustment was made was that ball didn't go into the hole for us. We got open looks. They tried to go zone. We had enough shooting out there. The ball just didn't go in. We shot over 43s tonight. I can almost guarantee a lot of those looks we'll take again. So give our group credit for maintaining the game plan. Harden, Embiid, kept them in check. Offensive rebounds from PJ, kept that in check. Give credit for Maxey tonight. So that's part of the playoff. Someone steps up, and you hope that step up is on your end of the. But give them credit.
No, I mean, there's only but so many words you could say after you got your ass whooped. He can't tell the truth. It's not just solely about missing threes, of which they were 13 of 42. Pretty bad outside of Cam Johnson. He was 5 of 11. Listen to this. Mikal Bridges, 2 of 8 from downtown. Royce O'Neal was 2 of 9. Joe Harris is supposed to be a 3-point marksman. He was 0 of 2. Seth Curry, 1 of 3. Dorian Finney-Smith, 2 of 6. Spencer Dinwiddie, 1 of 3. He only had 12 points total. Not that I would have been better, but the Brooklyn Nets could have called me up and let me shoot some threes. Just don't have enough talent. Poor Brooklyn Nets. But they've accomplished more, and they have a brighter future than what a lot of people, including myself, would have thought. I thought they were going to fall completely out the playoffs. And now it's just a matter of time, and the Brooklyn Nets, they can start thinking about the future. Because God knows they ain't winning anything. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Paul is calling from Rhode Island. Paul, what is on your mind?
How are you, Jay? Thank you.
I'm good, Paul. What are you thinking about?
What I'm thinking about is revenue. What I'm thinking about is what the West is looking for and everybody else is looking for. And I'm sorry to say, hi, Shep, and hi, Marco.
Slow down, Paul. That's backwards.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have an opinion on basketball? I mean, you're talking about revenue. You got an opinion on basketball?
I have an opinion on everything.
Well, give me the basketball opinion rather than you pontificating about revenue.
Okay, here's your revenue. What? I think there's a lot of teams in the NBA that like to go 6-7 games for the revenue. We, Boston Shamrocks and Boston Bruins, are not doing that anymore. We've been burned too many times. So here's the deal. We are going 4 or 5 and out and rest. And that's the end of my conversation. And I appreciate what you do. And I hope you come to Rhode Island.
Oh, thank you, Paul. You want to help me to go to Rhode Island?
Yes, and promote your the thing that you do for the oh God! I just got a blank.
It's okay.
Well, I'm 10 minutes from Bryan College, so if you ever come down,
you want me to go to a college? Okay.
That's right. Well, you promote your
Well, how about this? I'll do you one better. I think you're referring to Agents of Inclusion, my new podcast with Special Olympics. And how about this? Our episode that gets released this Wednesday doesn't have so much to do with Rhode Island, but it is kind of going up in that direction of New England. I speak to someone from Auburn, Massachusetts. His name is Michael Kelly. He's actually been an announcer for Harvard. He has done a lot of work. He works for one of the Red Sox affiliates right now, and he's a Special Olympics athlete, and he's done amazing things. So go ahead and check that out. Make sure you subscribe to Agents of Inclusion, and then you can listen to that conversation with Michael Kelly. Wherever you listen to podcasts, so just go ahead and search Agents of Inclusion. I don't know so much about you know what he was saying about the revenue. I do know this much. I've watched enough of the Atlanta Hawks. I have seen enough of the Celtics. I've seen the Celtics up close and personal smash the Hawks. And, yeah, if they do what they need to do, Boston Celtics should have some time to rest. We'll see what takes place. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, I told you about all of these injuries and just all of the pain that a lot of teams suffered this past Sunday. There is a major player in the NFL who suffered a major injury in the last playoffs, and he's still not 100%. His name is Patrick Mahomes. We're going to talk more basketball. I want you to hear from Patrick Mahomes himself after he spoke with the press earlier today. We'll get into Jalen Hurts and his new contract. What does that mean for some of these other QBs in the NFL, not just Lamar Jackson? We're just getting started.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, JR, man? I want to first by saying I love the show and thank you for keeping the show real on so many different topics.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Man, they move up and down the court so damn fast. The first quarter is already done. The Golden State Warriors lead the Sacramento Kings 23-17. Draymond Green actually leading the way on the scoring side for Golden State. He has 7 points. Steph Curry has 5. And then for the Sacramento Kings right now, no shock here, De'Aaron Fox leading the way with 7 points of his own, with Sabonis at 4. Golden State leading 23-17. And there are a lot of people online who have realized that Steph Curry goes to the bench, and when he removes his mouth guard, he puts it in his leg sleeve. Welcome to the internet, where that's also trending. There was a point in time where Steph Curry was gimping around a little bit, but he looks to be perfectly fine. And that's what makes looking at any of these playoff series and really drilling down deep so difficult. You don't know when an injury is going to occur and pop up. Like, it's going to happen. Just on Sunday, from Anthony Davis and the stinger in his arm, sure, it's Anthony Davis, so it attracts so much more attention. You think about Ja Morant and his hand, dealing with that, may not play in game 2. It's just, there's always something. Giannis and his back. We haven't reached peak injury yet. I don't know. I mean, come on. Now, the Clippers beat the Suns, and there was no Paul George. We're probably not going to see Paul George here in this first round at all. And so injuries just always take shape, take form in any of these big games. And so, speaking of big games, there really is no game bigger than the Super Bowl. And we know the Super Bowl was a few months ago, and we'll talk about Jalen Hurts and his gigantic contract. We'll do that at the top of the hour. But this is the time of the year where NFL teams, they start to convene for off-season workouts. And so Patrick Mahomes spoke to the media today, and we know heading into the Super Bowl, he was running around on a gimp ankle and had to go through the game on a gimp ankle and was able to play through it. And we know the Chiefs ultimately won 38-35. Mahomes had three touchdowns in that game. It came down to the wire, but Mahomes was able to pick up his second career Super Bowl victory, his second career Super Bowl MVP award. And so the media spoke to him today. And as a result, you can pretty much bet your ass they asked about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle. This is what he had to say about the whole deal and how he is or is not healing.
Now it's been more about just kind of managing it, but getting the mobility back as best as I possibly can. I wouldn't say I'm 100%, but I've had no necessary limitations. It's just when you go through a grind of a week of training and you're trying to push it and go through the rehab process, but at the same time, you want to make sure you're still building. You might be a little sore on the weekends, but I think we've done a great job of pushing it to the right limit to where now I'm throwing and stuff like that and having no limitations there. So I think there'll be a running and cutting. There'll still be a little bit of limitations going the next few weeks, but I'm happy with where I'm at. And we'll keep pushing it and getting me to the right spot for the beginning of the season.
Okay. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. This man was playing football, busting his ass in January and February. It's April. Training camp won't get underway until the end of July. The first regular season game won't roll around until September. And so even though Patrick Mahomes is talking how his ankle is not 100%, what's the big deal here? What's the problem? He'll be perfectly fine. I'd be more concerned. And even there, I'm not concerned or worried with who he's going to be throwing the ball to and who's going to be out there protecting him. I mean, those are some of the larger issues that I have, and we thought that there might be some gigantic issue with Tyreek Hill moving along, and there wasn't one. But Juju Smith-Schuster, he's gone. He's now a New England Patriot. Orlando Brown Jr., they didn't want to pay him. He's gone. He's now in Cincinnati with a rival. Mecole Hardman is now a New York Jet. Richie James comes over from the New York Giants, and so the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, they'll be fine. But the last thing that I would worry about, and you can ask him for an update, I'm not sweating Patrick Mahomes and his ankle. He'll be cool. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. T-Money, he's calling from Tucson out in Arizona. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, T-Money?
Hey, JR, great show. Thanks for having me on, sir. Let's stop pretending like a National Basketball Association is like a real thing. Their playoff games were on tape delay in the early 80s. It took like some dude named Mike Jordan to bring them to prominence. And now that, you know, Mike's career has been over for a long time and these guys are just squandering it. Like, it's almost unwatchable when you can't turn on any given game and see the people you're expecting to see. And it may be I'm being an old dude, and maybe that perception is reality, but it's lost its luster. It's like if the players don't care, then why should we care?
When you say players, how many players are you talking about?
I'm talking about like dudes like Anthony Streetclothes Davis. I'm talking about Zion not being Zion. You know, that kind of stuff.
But I think those are two poor examples. So okay. Anthony Davis legitimately is injury prone. He unfortunately has been injury prone since the day he stepped into the NBA. Zion Williamson, on the other hand, he's injury prone because he's out of shape and he's fat. And he put his foot in his mouth last week. I don't know if I'd put those two players in the space of, what would I call it, load management. Zion got a whole lot to learn about being healthy, about being in shape, and how to speak to the media, because what he said was disastrous. I'll give you that. But they aren't dudes who I think are just wanting to sit out. I'll tell you this much, and I think a larger portion, and thank you, T-Money, for calling from Tucson, I think a larger problem is that the players, A, have been babied. And then, B, you got the teams playing plenty of cash, paying out the ass, paying so much money that they want to protect their investments. And so there's not necessarily even a push from the teams for these players to go out and play. They're pretty much told and taught from a long time before, hey, take it easy. We ain't pushing you. We're paying you $200 million. We're paying you $50 million this year. We're paying you $40 million. And so, yeah, does the NBA have a problem with load management? Yeah, come on. NBA Players Association, they just redid their collective bargaining agreement. And a part of that is trying to figure out how to incentivize teams, not just players, but teams to go out there and play. I mean, the Dallas Mavericks, they just fined $750,000 for quitting on a season. Are we going to blame that on Luka Doncic? We know Kyrie Irving is a basketball space cadet, plays when he wants to, plays when he doesn't. We going to blame Mark Cuban? You think it's just the end of a season where a team wakes up and says, well, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't play? Like, these are efforts that take place all year long. And so if you're looking for Michael Jordan to come back and play all 82, if you're looking for him to come back and drop 37 and 35, those days are over. But I'm not going to take away from the stars in the NBA who do play. It doesn't look like Anthony Edwards. It doesn't look like he has any give up in him. He's 21. It's like he played every minute of every game, and he's been vocal against that. You know, Ja Morant, if his body can hold up into the future, I don't see him as someone trying to sit down. And so things come in waves. And if you have one guy, notably Anthony Edwards, who's telling everybody, y'all can kiss my ass, I'm going to play, don't be shocked if you have other players who kind of fall in line under that. The league kind of takes example from the top. And so it's no coincidence that over the past 10 to 15 years, the top has been the San Antonio Spurs, going past that. And when they started sitting dudes, we started seeing everybody else fall in line. The only difference was San Antonio Spurs, they were actually old. They needed to sit down. Greg Popovich really, really took advantage of that. Speaking of injuries, I mentioned this game in passing. The Clippers beating the Suns on Sunday night, 115-110. I know T-Money, he just called from Tucson. It ain't too far from Phoenix, Arizona. And Russell Westbrook, man, had a crap game. 3 of 19 shooting. Almost had a triple-double, though. Played crazy defense. Had a big block at the end of the game. And Kevin Durant and his squad still looking like they're trying to come together. And they took the L. Kawhi dropping 38 points. It was a hell of a game. Kevin Durant, someone for the past couple of seasons knows nothing but injuries. He talked about the Suns' slow start versus the Clippers. Listen to this.
Yeah, I give them credit for playing good defense, but I think we missed some good shots there in that first quarter, and we was able to get it going there in the second and third quarters. We definitely like to have better starts, but sometimes that happens, and it's about how you bounce back from it. But I think we did a solid job in the second and third of bouncing back.
Yeah, such a ridiculously almost perfect, consistent basketball player. Kevin Durant can have 27 points on 7 of 15 shots, and you just say to yourself, damn it, man, take more than that. Don't stop at 15. Go take 20-something shots. But where they really got hurt, and this is a concern for the rest of the playoffs, flat and period, who's helping off the bench? Chris Paul had a garbage game, 7 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds. He was 2 of 8 from the field. the Phoenix Suns only had 10 points off the bench. That ain't gonna cut it. I don't think this series is over, not by any stretch of the imagination, but if the Suns don't get help, this Sun is gonna set. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Right now, and they are still in a shootout themselves. About 4 minutes have gone by here in the second quarter. The Sacramento Kings on top of Golden State, 33-27. We'll keep you up to date there. Keep you up to date. Well, we'll keep you up. This is going to be a fun one. Hey, Shep, am I the only person who gets tired watching them run up and down the court?
No, you're not. But with these two teams, the highest-scoring offense in the entire league and a four-time, you know, champion Golden State Warriors in the last 8 years, I don't know how you can get tired of this series.
I mean, physically watching them run up and down the court at a breakneck speed.
What's fascinating?
Oh, it's I give them credit, man. It's a track meet. It's a track meet on Saturday. It's a track meet right now. We'll keep you up to date on this game. And when we come back on the other side of the break, this is not a track meet. This man also uses his legs. He runs the damn ball into the end zone. And he is now the highest paid dude that the NFL has and will see for now. His name is Jalen Hurts. The Eagles, are they hurting their pockets to pay this dude? I'll explain on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio.